I'll come right in. Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgate and your NASCAR podcast. Well, I guess this episode I'll just say racing podcast. Your NASCAR Racing Wives podcast for Belly Up Sports. I got once again Mike, founder of Belly Up Sports, on with me in a very special episode. Mike, why don't you tell the people what we're doing this week?
Well, first and foremost, this is like 2 weeks in a row I get to be somewhat a part of your show or Sound Off, so it's nice. But really excited because we were able to get Amber, what do we say, Falcon? I know we butchered it the first time she corrected
Falcon.
Us. But either way, we got her on the show. It was a great interview from Racing Wives and currently out there looking for a sponsor, as you'll hear. Just a great opportunity, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Dude, the second Amber gets a sponsor, I'm buying a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have to.
She's been awesome. She's been awesome. Yeah, it was a great interview. You know, we talk about, obviously, about Racing Wives. And then I try to dig in and be like, you know, what's, like, Samantha Bush really like? What's, you know, she was a really fun person.
Totally open, yeah, interview. Totally open.
Yeah. And y'all have to listen to the whole thing because – she sets the record straight about taking shots at the bar and the drama with Samantha Bush. For those that watched the show Racing Wives, if you didn't watch the show Racing Wives, I've just told you there was drama with her taking shots at Samantha and Kyle Busch. So there you go. You should listen to the whole thing anyway. Because I was like, Kyle Busch, you punk. Dale Earnhardt would have been over there smoking a cigarette and taking a shot. So, yeah, really, really fun, exciting interview coming up. Happy Mike set this whole thing up, so thanks again, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, one last thing before we get into it. All right, Mike, do you like watching TV, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, that's why I am probably the physique that I am.
Exact same. I think we got the same body types, you know, too young to be this out of shape type
yes.
body. Yeah, definitely. Dad bod is what they call it, I believe.
Yeah,
so, and this whole episode's TV show based, right? Because it's Racing Wives. So
Absolutely.
This is like going to be my TV show episode. I don't know if you caught it, but tonight, It's Always Sunny is coming back on. It's airing.
Oh,
South
wow, no,
Park's airing.
Jeez.
I think Crank Yankers, you remember that show?
Oh, God, yeah. What are they doing? All
They're coming back.
Bringing everything?
Yes.
How do
yeah,
you pick
so,
and choose? Are they just following each other?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, okay, at the end of this episode, the outro, I'm going to put one of my old classics. I used to make these remix, like, songs with Chairgate, It's Always Sunny. Because Chairgate and a lot of what I do here derived from It's Always Sunny.
Okay.
Actually, there's, like, a whole story behind it. My original logo was Charlie in the chair tailgating the Eagles game. Anyway, so the end of the episode, you definitely want to listen because I'm going to have one of my classic It's Always Sunny songs.
There you go.
But what I wanted to ask is, what would you choose, South Park or It's Always Sunny?
I'm not going to lie, dude. Charlie, he just is so enticing to watch what he comes up with. I'm definitely going to have to go with Always Sunny. Not to discount South Park, but I feel like, I mean, you know, you watch one. I know I'll probably get flack for this, but you watch one, you watch them all.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think I would agree with you. I feel like if you asked me like 8 years ago, I would have been like South Park, no question. But it's just not the same as it used to be. It's always sunny. yeah. So I just wanted to cover that. Listen through to the end and enjoy my little song that I'm going to put in for everybody to recognize the greatest show being back. But let's get right into it, Mike. What do you think?
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, let's do it. welcome on Amber Balcone. Am I saying that right?
Balkan?
Yeah. Damn. We went over this before, didn't we, Mike? And Mike was like, say it right. And I was like, I'm going to say it right.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's the Canadian accent that she has. That's what makes it so different. So, Amber, thank you so much for coming on. I have Amber here. I got Mike, the founder of Belly Up Sports, obviously, back on. I can't get rid of him, unfortunately.
Yeah, stuck with him.
So, thanks for coming on, Amber.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and me and Mike, you know, we'll admit, as two grown men, we watched Raising Wives. So I was very excited.
It's my guilty pleasure, not gonna lie.
Well, I mean, you do have the big NASCAR drivers on it, so why not, right?
Exactly. That was my thing. Like, my wife loves the show. Thank God there's something to get my wife into, you know, involved in racing. But yeah, for me, I was like, oh, I get to see Austin Dillon and Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch. So it was definitely entertaining.
Which you've had Austin on the show, what, one or two times?
Yeah, twice, yeah.
So that's nice. But in general, it's definitely my guilty pleasure. My wife came down the first night I was watching and says, what the hell are you watching? And then she kind of sat down. She's like, oh, okay, you know. So she started watching it. So we kind of got hooked. So really what I'm going to say is, you know, kind of give us your background. I know racing's always been in your family. But was this kind of really the stepping stone that at least your public image kind of put you out there? Or were you always kind of trending that way? You know, how did you begin from point A to point B?
Yeah, so I grew up in Canada racing dirt. So I raced dirt go-karts, then moved on to mini sprints and 410 sprint cars, and did pretty well at that. So I actually caught the attention of the NASCAR diversity program. And before that, I really didn't even think that NASCAR was possible for me. It just seemed so far-fetched from being kind of a, you know, local dirt track racer in Canada. So that's really kind of what opened to my eyes to what was possible. And I competed in the NASCAR Diversity Combine the first year, and just getting that, you know, first little bit of it, I was like, damn, like, I really want to do this. At the time, I was in college, and I got my two-year business degree and went back for my 4 year, and I kind of had an aha moment. And it was, you know, I don't want to be sitting at a desk from 9 to 5 every day, and I don't want to be someone else. And I want to, and then I, you know, said, what do you want to do, Amber? And I said, I want to race cars. There's nothing else that I can imagine doing in my life other than racing cars. And because that's what I loved, and that's what was my passion. That was my whole life, you know, but no one else in my family has made it a career. You know, we're all kind of just weekend dirt racers. So, like I said, I really didn't think it was possible. But I went home that day, told my parents, look, I'm going to give it my best shot and see how it works out. And they said, all right, you know, it's going to be tough. And, you know, we can't financially support you, right? And I said, I know, but, you know, I want to see what I can do. So that was about 5 years ago. And now I'm on a reality TV show.
Come full circle.
What? Okay, so, you know, forgive me for asking like some dumb questions about your career if they sound dumb, but you kind of came to the spotlight. I don't want to say out of nowhere, but I didn't really know about you until the show hit. So what series were you driving in? Because you were doing this as a career even before the show, correct?
Correct. I've been trying to make it a career. So I moved to North Carolina just over three years ago. In 2016, I had my first year on pavement, first year in a stock car, and became Rookie of the Year, became the first Canadian female to win a NASCAR sanctioned race, and just had an awesome year. And I was kind of like, oh, this is awesome. Like, it's my first year of pavement. I'm doing well. This is going to be easy. I'm going to move up to the K&N series and ARCA, and we'll just work my way up. Well, it's definitely not easy. So my first year I did the full season of limited late model. Then the next year I did one NASCAR K&N race, but didn't get sponsorship for the whole year. So I just did kind of a couple one-off late model races as well. And then after winning some races, Samantha Bush actually reached out to me and said, you know, we've always wanted to have a female driver at KBM. I had met her previously and briefly and kind of told her my story and how I've worked really, really hard to get here. And I don't have any family money. All of my racing I've procured through my own effort. So she really liked my drive and determination to want to make this happen. And we sat down and talked about the potential of me racing for KBM. And she, at the end of the day, you need sponsors to do it. You need that financial backing. So around the same time is when the Racing Wives was doing the pilot. And not sure if you saw the pilot, but I wasn't in the pilot because she hadn't introduced me to CMT yet. I guess a few of the wives weren't able to do the show, so that's when she brought up me to CMT, and CMT interviewed me, and fortunately they liked me, and that's kind of how I got on the show. But the last couple of years, as far as racing, I've just really, really struggled with sponsorship. So I've done, you know, a few late model races, a K&N race, but my goal has been to race a full season of K&N or ARCA and just really work my way up. But as you guys know, NASCAR is really all about finances and finding those bring you up. So I've just really, really struggled with that. And as much as frustrations that's been for me, at the same time, I might have even not even had the opportunity to be on the show if I wasn't in that lack of sponsorship, because, you know, my story is the struggle. So I guess that was kind of the silver lining in it all.
And why do you think you've been struggling with sponsorship? Because, I mean, you just, you seem like a goldmine for sponsor dollars.
I feel like, with the opportunity, no offense
or anything, but you're a very good looking girl, you're very popular on social media, you know, you're well spoken. So do you think there's a certain, you know, thing that there's a reason that you're not getting those sponsored dollars, or do you think it's just a problem in motorsports in general right now?
Yeah, I don't think it's really necessarily me, but all drivers right now are having a really tough time finding sponsorship. There's a lot of really talented race car drivers that are without a ride, and you see it even in the Cup Series. You know, people fighting for those spots, and it doesn't mean they're not great drivers. It really all comes down to funding at the end of the day. It's the days of you getting a ride for free are very, very few and far between now. And so that's what it comes down to. And it's not like I'm asking for a couple hundred dollars. We're asking for millions of dollars to do this. And a lot of companies think that's a big risk to spend that type of money. So I just work my butt off to try to prove the return on investment, prove that, you know, invest in my journey, invest in me, and let's be big together.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, so it's millions of dollars even for like K&N and ARCA?
Yeah, for a season of ARCA, it's about $1.3 million.
Mike, get the checkbook.
Yeah, let's just bust it out, you know.
Let's bust it out. Yeah, 1.3. All right, we got you.
Yeah. But so like you were talking about, you know, the pilot aired. So for the people that watch this that aren't in tune so much to the NASCAR series, that don't even really realize this, the actual final episode just aired not too long ago, but this is actually a season behind. So it's technically a year behind. And the pilot was what, maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, essentially what it was. Cause I've read different things that it was going to air. It wasn't going to air. Then they pushed back the date. And so now obviously it's aired. They got their whole season in, but technically racing terms were a season behind.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's how it is. So yeah. as you're sitting here and you're watching it and you're reliving all this, you know, what goes through your mind as you're watching these episodes? Are there things that you totally forgot happened that you're like, oh man, you know, or is it just like, you know, you're just waiting for this to finally air to, you know, because you remember this like the other day, you know? I feel like this would just be like a roller coaster of emotions watching this.
It definitely was. And most of it was not easy to watch, to be honest. It was tough because it's still my life right now. I still don't have a sponsor and I'm still grinding and fighting for that shot and that chance and finding someone to believe in me and want to spend their money in racing with me. And, another thing is, you know, you don't have complete control of how things are edited. So there's things that, I don't really think I'm like that, but, you know, there's moments like that as well, but The whole reason I did the show in the first place was because I thought it was a great opportunity to have a big, big platform to gain more exposure, because that's what racing is about. That's what sponsors are about, is gaining that exposure. So I was really hoping that through this show, you know, maybe that one sponsor would see me and say, hey, I really want to get behind her. Let's sponsor her full time next year. So that hasn't happened yet, but I'm hoping that call is coming, and I'm still bored every day.
Yeah, to be fair, the last episode of the season did just air. So, right. Yeah, I wouldn't be too nervous. I think it's going to happen. Just out of curiosity, what's like a one race if somebody wanted to sponsor you in like K&N?
They range between about 60 and 100,000.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's Like you said, you know, it adds up real quick, even if you just want to get one in there. And you know, what are the odds that, you know, you just jump into one race and have a great race? I mean, to really put yourself out there, you know, you want to have every opportunity you can. So, absolutely. I mean, what's that?
I said absolutely. And the thing is, you're not in the car every week, that much tougher, you know. It's one of the very few sports that it costs money to practice, so it's not like I can go on a field and throw a football and practice my skills when it even costs money to practice.
Well, where do you stand with Samantha Bush? Are y'all still good and everything?
Oh yeah, I'm actually going to her event tomorrow. It's their Bundle of Joy event, so I'm really excited to go and attend. And if it wasn't for Sam, I wouldn't be on this show. If it wasn't for Sam, I would have never met Kyle and got him coaching me and all these things. Like, she's opened so many doors for me, and for that, I'll be ever thankful and grateful for that.
Mike, you got me that invite to her event, right? It's in the mail.
Yeah, which cool. Which actually, it's funny you say that, because there is a very big piece of me that family, friends know, but, you know, not that I talk about it, which it's nothing to be ashamed of, but my wife and I actually, we couldn't get pregnant. So we did in vitro, and that's how we had our daughter. So watching the show kind of an extra added bonus once we realized that, because I didn't know that was their situation, because I didn't follow them that close. You know, I followed the sport in general, but I didn't follow them specifically. So that was really cool. That hit home. And I think that's why my wife took a liking to it, because what they're doing is, you know, not to take away from racing, but to shoot to have a baby through that process can be $40,000 to $50,000 to $60,000, you know. Not to stray too far, but there's no amount of money that could change anything as far as having my daughter now. So it's awesome that you're going to the event tomorrow. That's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, what they do is fantastic, and that's what I really like about Racing Wives too. Was, you know, the beginning of the season might have had a little bit more drama, but towards the end of the season, you really got to know who we are a little bit more and our stories and just a deeper look into our lives. And I think that the storylines got a lot more meaningful and relatable as the season went on.
Okay, you were talking about how they'll edit things and there was drama. I got to ask you about the situation with you taking shots with Whitney Dillon. Okay, I mean, personally watching it, I was like, what's the big deal? I would absolutely be taking shots if I was at that.
Calm the nerves, man, around all those people.
Yeah, what was that about? Were they legit mad at you, or was that just like part of the show that they're like, we need some drama?
Yeah, no, they were really upset. But the thing that the show doesn't show is they actually asked us, it was only one shot, and it was in like a glass, and it was and it was rosé wine. So it wasn't like it was tequila or anything crazy. They just had little like basically tasters of rosé, and the bartender said, "Would you like to try this?" And we said, "Sure." And I, you know, said to the girls, I'm a little nervous. It's my first time around all these like big NASCAR names, and I don't know anyone here. And I'd like, you know, maybe a little drink to kind of
get them. Of course. Yes.
Calm the nerves, yeah.
And yeah. We took that drink, and but it wasn't okay. I'm not gonna do that again, that's for sure.
I'm not gonna lie, I lost a little bit of respect for Kyle there. Because he was like, your girl's over there taking shots. I was like, Kyle, you're a NASCAR driver. You should be over there taking shots. Let's go.
I thought it was pretty funny. No disrespect to the other ladies, but there were some comments like, "Oh, giving Amber crap for taking a shot while as they all sip their alcoholic beverages."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I was like, "Man, y'all need it. This is NASCAR. All right, let's calm down a little bit."
Yeah.
So is there? I mean, I don't know how much you saw it or if you guys were all together a lot, but is there really that big of a disconnect? Or maybe not disconnect between the wives and the brand models?
To be honest, I don't really know because I'm not at the NASCAR tracks every Sunday.
You're talking about that.
In my own world, and that's the thing that separates me from the wives is I'm not a wife of a driver. I am the driver, so I don't see them as much as they see each other. So I don't really truly know. I pretty much know as much as you guys when it comes to them. Yeah. When I'm with Samantha, I'm talking racing. When I'm with Marilyn Whitney, I'm talking racing. Or
talking shots.
You're talking shots, right? I don't really fully know. I think they're all good now. I think there was some tension there, but I think they're all good now.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean... Also, one thing about this show, I just finished actually the last episode tonight, and when you were out on the track practicing, and Kyle Busch is in his car giving you pointers on like how to take a line on that track, and I was like, you can't afford to pay for instructions like that.
Yeah. That, I'm not going to lie, that was one of the coolest moments of my life. Like, I went home that day and I was like, "Mom, like, this was the best day." Like, I literally was being coached by Kyle Busch and I listened to everything he said. Like, if there was a test on what he said, I could have told you exactly what he said. My mom's like, "Wow, I can't believe you took all that information in that quick," because he was just firing it out to me. And my mom's like, "I can't believe you took all that information and you applied it." And that's the one good thing about him being there and kind of seeing what I could do. Is the one thing I'm really confident in my abilities is when a crew chief gives me information and tells me what to do, to listen to it and apply it to the track. So if he says, "Enter the corner higher," you enter the corner higher, where sometimes drivers have a hard time listening to what the crew chief is telling them to do on the track. So I hope that I showed him that day that I understand what it means to correct lines as a driver and make the proper changes to be better.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's kind of like, being at a basketball court and LeBron James coming up and giving you pointers on your game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. I was like, man, I'm very jealous right now. And then, obviously, what did you qualify? I know you were disappointed with the qualification. What was that?
Oh, I think it was like 21st or something.
Okay.
Like there was a lot. I think there was like 36 cars or 38 cars.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what you qualified. You were just like, "Oh man, I'm disappointed." And then the race.
Because during the practice, I qualified a tenth faster than the pole last year. Oh. So I was like, "Oh, I got this in the bag." Like I was super confident. But there's no qualifying in dirt track racing, so I've never been the greatest qualifier. Like it took me till the end of the year to get my first pole, my first year on pavement. So that's always been a struggle of mine is qualifying. I'm slowly getting better, but when that happened, I was like, "Oh, I know I'm so much better than this." It was really frustrating.
Right. Okay, and then obviously the race happens and you wreck, but what happened? Did you just get loose? I saw sparks coming up under your car.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened, and this actually made me feel better about qualifying too, because we qualify and race with the same set of tires. So my right front, they had the wrong valve stem in, or it was broken. And so the right front never gained any air. So my car would not turn. It felt really like, I came on the radio, I was like, it's really tight, I can't turn. And they're like, "Just keep going, it'll get better," but it never got better. So that's why my qualifying time was so bad, because I didn't have any right front pressure. And then with the actual race, I wasn't moving forward. Like I was kind of just staying in the same spot, and I'm like, "This is weird. I know I'm way faster than this." And I kept saying, "Guys, it's so tight, it's not gonna turn. And they said, "Just keep going. The tire pressure will build up and you'll be better." And then it got to a point where the tire just blew completely, and that's
okay.
How it ended up in the wall.
Okay. Yeah, I saw like sparks fly.
Yeah.
And then you just go into a wall, and I was like, wait, and they didn't really like explain it much. And I was like, but what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what happened. There was no right front tire pressure, so I had a flat right front tire the whole time, and it was dragging. Okay. That's why you see sparks, and you could tell something was wrong with the car. Right. I don't know how much the TV showed. I can't really remember, but being there, you could tell something was up. And it was so unfortunate it happened that way.
And so you're going to this event tomorrow with the Bushes. So are you driving for KBM, or do you need to go find sponsor money first?
I need to find sponsor money first. I did two races with them this year. The first race was really going good in practice, was P2 in practice, and got crashed out. And the second race, I think I finished 13th out of 29 cars. Or
was that in the super lates or?
Yeah, that was in the super late mall. So that was my second super late mall race. But that's all I had. Basically, the first race, they felt really bad about how everything went down and kind of gave me a really good deal on it. And then the second race, I had a sponsored Tavia. They sponsored me that car, which is a you actually saw it in the show. They're a feminine product company. Back to girls in school. They're a really great company. But then since then, I just haven't had any sponsorship. So I've just been looking for sponsors. And right now I'm focused on getting sponsors for 2020 season.
Well, hopefully this podcast helps. You know, that's if me and Mike don't bust out that 1.3 real quick.
No, I was just thinking, you know, what if we threw you like, you know, some free stickers? Could you just slap them on the car and we call it even?
If you guys can get me a sponsor from this podcast, absolutely. I'll put that sticker on.
Okay. Hey, I'll hold you to that. I'm going to start I make sale phone calls. I'm going to start calling.
Yeah, we're on the up and up. We may we may come off small, but we're definitely mighty. We're slowly making contacts in the industry, which honestly, not to lie, we've been pretty lucky, you know. Are you familiar? You talked about obviously ARCA and stuff like that. Are you familiar with any of the drivers or teams, or are you just in general just saying, you know, hey, I just want a chance at any opportunity?
Oh, no, I'm definitely familiar with them. I've spoke to quite a few teams, and I do my research before, you know, talking to these guys, that I pay attention to who's running up front and what teams are doing.
Seems like the same guys in ARCA.
Yeah, so I want to be with the top-tier team because I want to win races.
Venturini,
DGR is really good. I think those are kind of your top people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've been interviewing Michael Self and Christian Eckes a lot. Those guys are really cool, actually.
Yeah, actually, I haven't met them, but they've definitely been doing well on the racetrack.
Yeah, and they're really cool guys.
But just in general, like we said, we can start wrapping this up. We don't want to keep you too long. In general, watching the whole NASCAR Wives, you being a part of that, I definitely feel like Rattlesnake said here, you know, the actual episodes just finished up. So with what you're doing, the work you're putting in, I can see a future, you know, just based off of, not that I'm some kind of NASCAR analyst or anything, but I think you're working hard at it. I think you've got the right, I don't even know how you want to say it. I mean, you've got the right connections that you definitely just need to get out there, get the money, and then you definitely be able to show them what you're made of. And it'd definitely be cool, you know, to get this episode out there, let people hear it. And, you know, as you said, you're pretty much done for the season, you know, preparing for 2020. So hopefully we can help, you know, get you out there and get you a sponsor. And that'd be cool, you know, to kind of be a part of your growth and watch you kind of take off.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much. And thank you for saying that. Honestly, it's tough to kind of keep positive every day, you know, when you're fighting a big battle with this amount of money. But naturally, I'm impatient because I'm a race car driver, so I want everything to happen right away. But you guys are right. You know, it did just air. So I'm going to keep positive and continue to work on it. And hopefully everything comes together and I can come back on your show and announce a big partnership.
Well, we would love that.
Most importantly, is there going to be a season two?
That I do not know yet. It's in the talks. We're talking about it, but nothing official yet.
Okay. And When I tweet this episode out, Amber, are you going to retweet it?
100%.
All right. That's the question I always ask. That's the main thing.
Yeah, we've been lucky. Yeah, the people that you've had on, big name, you know, whatever, they've all supported us. We supported them. So that's kind of what it's all about. As we grow, we definitely want to help everybody else. Even
well,
though,
Austin,
you know, most
Austin
people
didn't retweet
us, yeah.
my episode with him.
But they did end up retweeting the
but
picture.
But so. RCR did it. So I was like, all right, fine. But I still got beef. If you see Whitney, be like, hey, I was on this podcast. He's got beef with y'all.
But
I really appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate every type of platform I can be on to share my story and share the search for sponsorship.
Absolutely. Well, definitely and we hope that, yeah, that you definitely be become a friend of the company and the show. So with that being said, I'll let Rattlesnake take us out from here.
All right, Amber, Mike, thanks for coming on, y'all. We will see y'all again next week.
All right, thank you.
Peace. It was a straight shot, but all it took was luck to not get caught. I laid 3 grams down in the machine on 25 cents.
Sit in my chair, I'm relaxing, I'm getting blackout drunk, and you're leaving me alone.
Me, baby.
Avenging on me.
You must be wasted, dude. 24 beers by yourself?
And I'm very wasted.
I'm tired of people telling me what I can't do. They say I can't drink on a plane.
I never felt more alive in my life.
Chug 15 beers right now.
You're 40 beers back, bitch. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey, you know, listen.
You guys drank more than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's kind of what we do, man. We just drink.
I never felt more alive in my life.
I'm not an alcoholic, actually.